The bye week is mercifully here. The Colts got absolutely dominated in the fourth quarter and from a nationally televised audience on Sunday, losing 54-19 to the Dallas Cowboys. We'll tell you all about it on this episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering the Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. First-time users receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code locked on. This is Zach Hicks alongside Jake Arthur. You guys know us from horseshoehuddle.com. And today, or tonight, this morning, whatever, whenever you guys are listening to this, it's all about the Colts' loss on Sunday Night Football. They fall to 4-8-1 now heading into their bye week. But luckily, we know they're back inside that top 10 of the draft order, which is all that really matters, guys. Like, they are in that top 10. They're currently sitting at 9th. And then with the bye week coming up, you know, they can't really fall back at all. They can only move up again. So that's a really good thing that we can look at, you know, from this game. But yeah, offensively and even defensively, the Colts hung around in this game for a little bit, but it all unraveled in that fourth quarter as the Cowboys scored 33 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. For some perspective, the Colts had not allowed more than 30 points in any game this season. And then they allowed 33 in that fourth quarter alone to the Dallas Cowboys. But yeah, that was, as Caleb's saying here in the comments, that was so embarrassing. And I hope that the Indianapolis Colts are feeling that as well. But let's get into our first segment and talk about some of the main storylines from this game. And I think the absolute biggest one was the Colts offensive line honestly wasn't that bad. Like, they kind of got the short end of the stick on a lot of those first down runs because the Cowboys just knew that the runs were coming. So the offensive line just really couldn't do anything to block those because those runs were coming. But I thought they looked fine in the run game for the most part. I think in pass protection, outside of a couple of blitz pickups, I thought the offensive line was fine. The biggest issue is Matt Ryan. Like, he's had some bad games this year. He's had some absolute stinkers, but this looked the worst I've seen for Matt Ryan. Like, I'm not saying his arm looked good at any other point this season, but it looked like a different level type of bad tonight. Like, his arm looked completely shot. It looked like Peyton Manning on the Denver Broncos type of arm. Like, it was disastrous. And honestly, in that fourth quarter when he started to turn the ball over on every drive, it felt like, oh my gosh, stop throwing the ball. Like, it's only going to lead to turnovers. There's nothing good that can happen from him throwing it. And we saw, you know, they had 4 straight drives in that fourth quarter with turnovers. It was disastrous. And yeah, I'm not going to say this loss is completely on Matt Ryan, but like, he looked just terrible, man. Like, it was really, really bad.
He really did. And apologies up front for you guys. My voice is off right now. So if I'm too quiet or anything, just bear with me. But no, you're exactly right. Like, there were a few times where Matt would throw something to the outside or something. And it's like, oh, he has just not got it. That's a floating duck out there. He had one to Paris Campbell that was just, it felt like it took an eternity to get to him. And so I think the big question moving forward is, and we've not really known if it was going to be realistic, whether they'd actually do it, but at some point you have to look at this and be like, okay, well, this lack of arm strength is affecting timing. It's creating turnovers and it's a huge detriment to the offense. Like, yeah. At this point, Sam Ehlinger before the game went down to QB3. And so Nick Foles is the backup. Last week we had the same conversation. It feels realistic now. Like, just last week, we're like, no, that's not going to happen. And just within the last 24 hours, Nick Foles is now QB2, and Matt Ryan looked terrible in a game where they lost by what was that? That's too much math for me right now. But they scored 54 points. Like, there's no debate that Matt's lack of arm strength and, like, all his issues right now are causing a huge issue for the offense.
Right. And, you know, I think the bigger thing really isn't, you know, it's not really that his poor play warrants a benching. It does. It absolutely does. But the bigger thing of importance here is if he gets a big injury. I mean, when he took that hit in the fourth quarter where he fumbled, when he took that hit and he fumbled in the fourth quarter, I was terrified. I was like, man, that's an injury right there. Because the way he didn't really go for the ball either, I really thought he was injured. And that's terrifying because if he gets hurt and it's like a serious injury, that's $35 million that the Colts are on the hook for next season. All of next season, it's all guaranteed to Matt Ryan. Whereas if they can cut him after the season, I think they can save 17 of that. So he really can't get hurt. Like if he gets hurt and it's a big injury, you know, that's again, $35 million that the Colts are on the hook for. So just putting in Foles just to protect that money makes so much more sense. And honestly, like you just said, just getting the offense going a little bit, the ball can actually get out there and they can go to the receivers and not take 30 minutes to get out there. I mean, there were a lot where, you know, it just took so long. I mean, the last two picks were just because the ball was late and because it was like outside the numbers, it was just not working. So yeah, Matt Ryan was a big, big issue in this game. And then obviously,
To your point, why was he still out there with a minute left? You're not going to score 35 points or whatever it is to make it. Like, why was he still out there at the end of the game, getting sacked, turning the ball? Like, that was such a bad situation. Like,
yeah, why were all the starters out there? I mean, I know that these guys haven't earned anything this season. They've been playing poorly, so throw them out there just to send a message. But, like, you got guys like Stephon Gilmore, who's, what, 31, 32. You have Grover Stewart, who's almost 30. Buckner, who's 30. Matt Ryan, who's nearly 40. Like, why are they out there taking hits in a blowout loss? Like, there's no – again, especially Matt Ryan, where you could be on the hook for a ton of money if he gets hurt. So, yeah, I don't really understand a lot of the decisions at the end of that game. But, yeah, you know, my biggest takeaway still was just Matt Ryan. I don't think he's the reason they lost. I don't think they were going to win this game regardless. Put Nick Foles, Sam Ehlinger, you put, Andrew Luck out there. Like, I don't think they're winning this game because they were just overmatched all game long. But, Matt Ryan just looked cooked this entire game. And, again, it looked like Peyton Manning with the Broncos, you know, when he was throwing five picks and a half against the Kansas City Chiefs back that year that they won the Super Bowl. It was just – it was bad, man. It really did feel predictable, a lot of those picks at the end of the game.
That's a really good comparison. I hadn't really thought of it like that, but that demise and that swift physical decline is kind of reminiscent of Peyton with the Broncos. Something positive I can take away from this one, though, Alec Pierce, great. Even though him and Matt have no chemistry inside like 20 yards. Like, I think it's a mix of Matt's lack of arm strength and Alec still being a rookie and not, you know, he still has to grasp spacing and like things like that. I think those things mesh together to make sure those guys don't connect on anything short. But yeah, downfield, like, I don't know, even with Matt's lack of arm strength, I think I would still take shots downfield because Pierce and Pittman can win those 50-50 balls. If you're not going to throw it far enough for your receiver to their separation to matter, you have guys that can win those contested catches, so they should still be doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, I think some of it comes down to the offensive line play. Some of it comes down to Matt Ryan being very skittish back there. You know, he's kind of trying to get that ball out really quick. And if that first read's not there, he's getting happy feet and he's looking for the underneath throw. And it's just, again, there were a lot of throws to running back's feet like after he got off his first read because he just got happy feet and he wanted to get rid of the ball because he didn't want to get hit, which, again, to save that money for next year, I'm hoping he doesn't get hit anymore. But, yeah, man, it was just a mess. And honestly, again, offense wasn't the main issue. Well, okay, the offense wasn't the only issue this one. The Colts defense did kind of lay an egg there late as well. But, the offense is really beyond saving at this point. And it starts with quarterback and also some of the offensive line and play calling as well. But it really starts and ends at that quarterback position.
Yeah, it does. And one last thing, you know, something we circled in our pregame show, Malik Hooker revenge game. It happened in a big way. He got that pick, but he also, I think it was his first career touchdown. He got that scoop and score 38-yard touchdown. Whew. I mean, good for him at least. I mean, that's another little rosy thing to take away, I suppose.
If you guys were big Malik Hooker fans in the draft and thought that the Colts did wrong by him or something, well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Before we move on, today's episode is sponsored by Total Wine & More, which is going to be a popular spot for Colts fans after this game and throughout the bye week, I'm sure. If you're like me, then holiday time means family time, which means booze time. In this holiday season, you can find what you love at Total Wine & More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single-barrel bourbon or the perfect gift for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. You'll love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21.
Man, they're not Zach sold in Virginia. Loves that one. They're not sold in Virginia, though. What am I going to do? I gotta move out to Indiana eventually.
Suck it, Zach.
Suck. Also, at Locked On Colts, we believe that home should be where you and your family feel the safest, especially over the holidays. This season, give yourself and your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system, Simply Safe. Right now, Simply Safe is offering Locked On Colts listeners 40% off a new security system, but don't put this off. Here's why I love it. The ability to monitor your home from your phone with crystal clear picture while you're out and about gives great peace of mind. Plus, Simply Safe support is available 24/7 when you need it the most. With a top-rated Simply Safe app, stay in complete control of your system. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, or adjust security systems anywhere. Anytime, anywhere, don't miss your chance to save big on your favorite security system. Get 40% off any new system at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL today. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, Jake. So getting to the offense here, you know, one thing that we need to touch on in our main storylines is this play calling is it's not good. It's not good at all. And I'm not, again, Parks Frazier was put into an impossible situation. A guy who was an assistant quarterback coach who almost certainly was not ready to take on a play calling role. And every single series, every single drive is so predictable. And again, you have a quarterback who can't make all the throws. You have an offensive line that's struggling. You have playmakers who are good but not great. So I get it. His hands are a bit tied. But, man, I mean, every single first down is a run call. I mean, there were people that were complaining about that with Frank Reich. But I'm pretty sure the Colts are at almost 80% now or whatever under Parks Frazier with first down runs. Like, it is insanely predictable. And we saw it on one of those drives there, I think, in the third quarter where the Colts got all the way down the field. It was that 15-play, like, 90-yard drive. And they had, like, three first downs on the Cowboys' side of the field. And they ran it on all three of them for like negative like 6 or 7 yards, like combined on those plays. It was so predictable. Again, I know the passing game is going to be so limited because of what they have personnel wise there, but some of the, I mean, this game planning is so predictable, and the Cowboys were able to feast once they got settled in. So even the announcers were laughing about how predictable the first down runs were.
Yeah. No kidding. And honestly, I thought they might be onto something early in the game. You know, a rarity scoring in the first quarter. Their first two drives brought them points, 10 points in those first two drives. I wasn't surprised to see them. I mean, no one should be, obviously. Try to establish Jonathan Taylor early. But then in the second drive, they actually capitalized on it and used some play action. They got that touchdown to Ashton Doolin. Had the big bomb to Alec Pierce. I was like, okay, so they're obviously going to run like they always try to, but they're actually going to allow the play action game to open from that. But then from there, it just didn't really grow. It got stale, boring, predictable, like everyone noticed. And gosh, like, I just, like, it's so painfully evident. Like, you just can't keep going through the season like that. Like, thankfully, they have the bye week now, and they can stop for a second, catch their breath, and kind of regroup. But like, I think Parks would have the excuse to be kind of erratic and like crazy with his play calling if he wanted to be, you know, like, let's get weird with it. Like, cause like you said, he was thrown into an impossible situation, but they've just been leaning on all the things they've always done that were boring and kind of not fruitful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, it's really tough with Parks Frazier just being thrown out there in this position. So I don't really blame him. It's just, it is what it is. But getting to another thing that we both were kind of shaking our head a little bit at, why were they rotating offensive linemen? Why is Matt Pryor still seeing the field? I mean, he is inevitable, man. He will always see the field no matter what situation, no matter what like is happening. He will always get on the field somehow. And I honestly didn't think he was like this, you know, traffic cone tonight or anything like that. But like, still, like, why is he going out there? Like, we don't need him out there.
That's kind of like the exact point I was going to make. Like, I thought he was whatever tonight. He didn't cause any big issues. But why was it a thing? Like, you've talked to a million coaches and players in your career as well. Over the last 10 years of me doing this, anytime I talk to someone about the offensive line, at some point, continuity is always mentioned. So why are you rotating healthy linemen? Dennis Kelly has been doing this for like 10 years. Right tackle is his best spot. Did I say Ryan? I meant Dennis, regardless. He's perfectly fine. Just leave him there. There's no reason to bring in another guy. You're already down your right tackle. Why are you mixing it up? Like, it makes no sense. I understood what they were going for when they were doing it with Bernard Ryman earlier in the year, because that's their hopeful future left tackle. They're trying to get him some snaps somewhere. But this made no sense. Like, and it was so erratic, too. Like, I know they had a plan for it, but, like, you'd get Kelly for several drives, and then here comes Matt Pryor randomly for a drive. Like, I just don't get it. And Jeff Saturday's a former offensive lineman.
Yeah. I mean, at least Will Fries and Bernard Ryman have just kind of been starters and not rotating since Jeff Saturday came in. So I think that was a good decision. But, yeah, I really don't understand the whole right tackle thing that they were doing in this game. It made no sense to me. And honestly, I don't really think it hurt them that much. I don't think either guy was, you know, markedly better than the other one, or either guy was like a major detriment. But like, I still have no clue why that happened. But let's close off this offensive segment and talk about something positive. These pass catchers, I think there's some potential there, man. I really think that these pass catchers have some potential. You know, Alec Pierce had a huge game. Michael Pittman Jr. had a couple nice catches. Paris Campbell had a couple nice catches. Ashton Doolin burned one of the better corners in all of football for a touchdown. I mean, Ashton Doolin, you just can't ignore how great he is. No, but honestly, that was a great play by him to get that touchdown catch. And then Jelani Woods had that one catch at the end of the game where I think he's such a big, promising piece for the future. And then Kylan Granson made a couple nice catches as well. Like, I'm not saying that these pass catchers are like top tier in the league. Like, oh my gosh, the Colts have a top, like top 10 skill positions or anything like that. But I think with better quarterback play and better offensive line play, these pass catchers are very doable. Like, it's very doable to score points with these pass catchers. It's a good group, not a great group, obviously, but it's a good group that can be productive with the right, you know, person throwing them the ball. It's just, we don't have that right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys have proven to this point that they can do it against anybody. And like you said, if they're in a better situation, they'll be even more productive players. But I have to harp on something that irritated me again before we can move on. But it does have to do with
Jake. Come on.
Well, you could be good cop on this one. So Jelani Woods was out there. He very clearly was not really being used throughout much of the game. So I was like, okay, he's been on the injury report all week. He's probably an emergency only guy. But then he comes out and makes a 27-yard catch in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, if you're going to use him, why are you just now starting? The guy is just coming off basically a 100-yard game the week before. What is going on? Like, I just want some consistency. Like, you've got some guys out there because of their physical gifts. They don't have to be game plan specific. You can use them any week you want. Just like, they're gifted players. That's why they're out there. Like, just use your talented players. It drives me nuts. It feels like overthinking to me.
Yeah, I can't play good cop on that. I think Jelani Woods should have played a lot more. Mo'Ali Cox has struggled a lot this season. Obviously, on the fumble that was returned for a touchdown was obviously on Ali Cox fumbling that one away. So Yeah, I really have no words for it. Like, it would be one thing if Moelle Cox was like a really good run blocker, because you'd want to have the really good run blocker out there, but he's been terrible in run blocking this season. Like, an absolute train wreck. So, like, how bad could Jelani Woods be just getting his body in front? You know, like, it's not like it's that much of a downgrade from Moelle Cox. So, yeah, I have no clue. Unless, again, like you said, maybe it was like an injury thing and they got him some run at the end of the game when the score was out of reach, even though he was injured. I don't know. I have no clue. It doesn't make any sense to me either. But
even though they never pulled the starters.
I don't know, man.
All right. Yeah. Before we move on and talk about the defense, we want to tell you about the show, which is sponsored by Prize Picks. Against the Colts defense this week, Prize Picks gave Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott a more or less than mark of 250.5 passing yards. And despite putting up 54 points, Dak did not get there, just 170 passing yards. Whether you're picking with your head or your heart when it comes to the Colts, it's super easy on the Prize Picks mobile app. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their stat projections, then you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. Prize Picks offers projections on pretty much any sport that you can watch, obviously including the NFL, MLB, and NBA, but even stuff like cricket or disc golf. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Withdrawals are fast and safe, and Prize Picks is currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, Zach, we haven't really talked about the defense very much today. There were some bright spots, believe it or not, because, I mean, through three quarters, this was a relatively even game. The Colts were only down by 2 points entering the fourth. I thought, you know, Stephon Gilmore and Rodney McLeod really stuck out. McLeod did have a missed tackle here or there, but Gilmore was really on it. He had a dropped interception that hit him in the numbers, and then he made up for it a drive or two later with an interception. Returned at 30 yards, and the Colts got a field goal off of it. So, pretty decent day. I was actually wanting to get your thoughts, though. With Kenny Moore out of the nickel, they went with Julian Blackman in the nickel and then had Rodney Thomas and Rodney McLeod at safety. What did you think about that?
I liked it because I don't think Julian Blackman's really been that impressive at free safety this season. Like, it's just been a tough adjustment for him to this new scheme. I don't think he's been bad by any means, but I was kind of intrigued by him when I saw that he was listed as, like, the nickel guy because, you know, coming from Utah, those Utah defensive back coaches – are phenomenal. They get those guys ready to play corner. They get those guys ready to play slot, to play strong safety, free safety. You know, those Utah defensive backs are so polished and they're just so just ready for the NFL. So I think Julian Blackman was going to be a good fit there. And honestly, I didn't see any like negative plays from him there in the slot. Like, yeah, I think we saw in some of those outside runs that you would rather have Kenny Moore in the slot than Julian Blackman because Kenny Moore is just so dominant as a run defender. But when it came to coverage, you know, Julian Blackman, I didn't really see him get beat much. I thought he played pretty well. It's just, again, the whole team kind of got run down there in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, there were some standouts. You know, Stephon Gilmore, like you said, Rodney McLeod, even though he gave up a couple catches here and there, I thought he had a good game. Zaire Franklin, I mean, again, he's just a really, really good player, man. Like, he's a gamer, and he's really been fun to watch this season. It's just, I think the main issue of the Colts defense in this one is their defensive line is drained right now. Like, they are just run down from the season. Again, I mean, you got Grover Stewart and Forrest Buckner who have played a lot of snaps this season and they've played really well, but eventually, you know, if you don't have a steady rotation, those guys are going to get worn down. And yeah, that whole defensive line is so drained and so worn down that they were just getting run over in this game. And you know, when your defensive line starts to fall in the NFL, your whole defense starts to fall apart. And we're kind of seeing that with the Colts these last 2 weeks where they're not as dominant up front as what they were early in the season. And even though they're still having some good plays here and there, and they're, you know, they held the Cowboys to 21 points through three quarters, it just wasn't enough. And they eventually lost their legs there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, 220 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground for the Cowboys. And that's not even the only time they've given up over 200 yards recently on the ground. So, not great. That is very evident of a defensive front that is gassed. You mentioned Zaire Franklin. Is there a guy who makes you, like, kind of wince and grimace and prepare for the flag more than he does? Like, he's been awesome, but that dude is shot out of a cannon at all times. Like, he's eye-catching.
Well, you know, there was that study done, I think, on concussions that basically said, like, you know, NFL players are basically going through a bunch of car crashes throughout the course of a game. And there are some, you know, there's some hits every game where you're like, okay, I guess I can see it there. Every time Zaire Franklin hits someone, that's the car crash that they're talking about. Like, he is shot out of a cannon on every single play. He has such great just acceleration and explosion. And he's just a built dude who's strong, too. And he fires through those tackles. Like, he tackles through you. He's trying to tackle the thing right behind you, and you're just in the way, basically, is how he plays football. So, yeah, he's really grown a lot this season, especially in coverage. I mean, that end zone pass breakup he had on Dalton Schultz was just a phenomenal play. Zaire Franklin's one of the biggest standouts this whole season. And once we move past this game and we can go to talk about whole season stuff, we can really rave on his game a little bit more. But, I think he was phenomenal. But if we're just focusing again on this game, it begins and ends with that defensive line. And again, some of the linebacker plays and fits were not as great either. But yeah, the Colts defense, we kind of said it a couple of weeks ago that eventually they're going to get worn down. Eventually, this defense is not going to be able to carry this offense all season. And again, we're seeing it these last 2 weeks where this really good defense, this defense all year that we've been praising, has just lost its legs. Like, I really think it's kind of the end of this dominant defense. Now, they might get it back after the bye week, you know, because they get their little bit of rest there, but yeah, this was just brutal. That fourth quarter, these were chunk runs on every single rushing call that the Cowboys were getting. And again, that's just evident of a defense that just lost their legs.
Yeah, and aside from the run defense, they barely had any pass rush either. They had the one sack from Kwity Paye, but otherwise just the one sack, one quarterback hit. Yep. And against a quarterback like Dak Prescott, you just can't give him that much time. Luckily for them, he was a little erratic at times. So it honestly could have been worse earlier on in the game. But yeah, they're just not going to be able to survive not getting the quarterback, getting run over 200 yards a game. Like, that's obviously it's probably not going to be their last ugly performance if they don't get it corrected.
Yeah. I mean, again, luckily they have the bye week. Maybe they can kind of reestablish some things and get their legs back under them. And like you said, with Parks Frazier, he might be able to, you know, kind of get his bearings a little bit more with the play calling. But, you know, they're going to have, what, four games left, right? I think it's 4 games left.
Yeah. And also not their last primetime game either.
Yeah. But they got, what, Vikings, Chargers,
Giants, Texans and Texans. And Giants.
Yep. Yeah. So it's not that
many. Only one of those teams is bad.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it's not many more games left. So maybe they can kind of come out with some new energy in these last four. But, you know, contrary to what Jim Irsay said a couple weeks ago, the trajectory has changed. Well, I guess to kind of compliment Jim, yeah, the trajectory has changed. It went way more downhill since the firing of Frank Reich. You know, we had that great week right afterwards, and then it's just been downhill since. And this was just through the floorboards, like, just embarrassing in prime time. Again, I'm not saying Frank Reich was great and he didn't deserve to get fired, but it's clear that this team's issues go much further than the head coach. And, you know, Jeff Saturday coming in, it's been a struggle for him, and this was just kind of the epitome of all that.
Yeah, it's hard not to imagine a reset after this, just a total reset. Like, because everything is so wrong, like, you can't just say, let's start with the head coach, because you've kind of done that. It has to be everything. It's a philosophical wash that you have to do now. Like, yeah. Aside, you know, you have to flush this season, just like we're going to need to flush this game.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Well, at least we got the bye week coming up, guys. We get to do some fun content this week and have a blast. So I think that's all we have for this one, though. Jake, do you have any final words on this game?
Nope, I think that's about it. I'm ready to bring some fresh stuff, not, you know, not having to talk about the same doom and gloom coming up with the tough matchup. So we'll have some good guests coming up for you guys to check out on the channel over the next week. Come with some nice fresh stuff for you for the bye week. Keep it entertaining.
Yeah, for sure. Make sure you guys are following us on social media at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Also, subscribe to the Locked On Colts on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcast. We love your ratings and your reviews. Just be nice with them, guys. That's all we ask. My very fragile ego needs all the super nice stuff there. But thank you guys for making us your first listen of the day. Like, literally, like, it's just past midnight. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys later this week.